If you were not able to take in the first 2 hours of the new special on the History Channel last Sunday night, we already have a donation to our church for the full 10-hour DVD series. So at some point in time, you need to catch up on this series called The Bible. It will be available in our church library. The second of the 5 series will be showed tonight at 8 o'clock. And it's interesting that they will be picking up not long from where we are in God's Word this morning. They're just about ready to take on Jericho for the first time. And it is in that setting that we find Joshua, even today. Moses had fought a good fight. He had run the course. He had lived a life worthy of the calling that God placed on his life many, many years before. We know the burning bush experience happened in Moses' life, and then he spent the rest of his life in leadership there with God's people. They picked up manna for just a few years as they wandered in the desert. God provided in a way that would nourish them. They were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It even says over in the New Testament that a rock followed them from time to time, and all they would have to do was hit on the rock and water would be provided. But after those years, we then find Joshua getting ready to take on a new chapter in the life of God's people. And there was a crucial choice that was set before them. Choose you now who you will serve. There have been many other options of service. Who you give your allegiance to, who you give your time and your energy towards. And in Joshua chapter 5, we also have these words, starting in verse 9. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land. And the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. It was a time of transition in the life of God's people. Their very diet was going to change. Now, if you've been to McDonald's lately, they have a new menu item. It's called McBites or something. Is that what it's called? It's some little, they take processed fish and then they bread it even in bite-sized chunks so you can get even more breading and less fish, I think is the whole concept behind it. There is a menu change going on. Well, I'm thinking here in the life of the Israelites, it may have been even more significant than McBites being offered at McDonald's. They had to change how they were going to feed their families. Manna was no longer going to be produced in the way that had been done before. Manna literally means, what is it? They really didn't even have a good definition of what this sustenance was that was able to keep them living for all these years. But it says, on a particular day, in a particular month, they had to make a crucial choice. Are they willing to put away what they had been doing for many, many years and now rely upon a whole other source of nourishment? They had to stop what had been the case and then start doing something that for many, many years had not been a part of their whole life, or it was a generational issue. They had not eaten produce from the land for a long, long time. And so it became one of those points of Joshua encouraging God's people, are you ready to go where he's leading? Is it time for you to change what has happened and to now be ready for what's coming? And in our lives today, and I think it's still the case, it was not only the case for the Israelite people, the only thing constant in our world is change. And that every day there are opportunities for us to make crucial choices. And how do we go about doing that? How did Joshua encourage God's people to start making these crucial choices, making the changes that were needed for the next generation to come along and to be healthy and then to see them grow? And that's where you see in the latter part of the book of Joshua, he comes before the people in a great assembly and he gives them this call from the Lord. You need to choose. And the people in unison yelled back and say, we're ready to do that. We're ready to make that choice. We are ready to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, I know you think you're ready. But are you really ready? Because in serving the Lord, that means you set aside your own agendas. The Apostle Paul picks up on that theme when he speaks to a church that he very much cares for in the area of Colossae. As he gathered with them many times, he loved God's people in that region, and he wanted nothing more but for them to make crucial choices that would allow their growth to continue. And in Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, we have the privilege of listening in on his discussion today. He talks very clearly about some of those things we need to get rid of in our life. All those things that would hinder us or keep us from moving toward God. He goes at great lengths to specify those things that have been a part of all of our lives in one point or another. And then in verse number 12, he says, I don't then want you to live a life empty. You have to choose if you want to choose death or you want to choose life. And he says, this is what life looks like in verses 12 and following. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Paul reminds us that when we have to make crucial choices, there are ways in which we can go about making those choices, which involves us putting on certain articles. When we dress, it's not about what we wear on the outside, but I picture that kind of an idea. You're going to put on one layer at a time. Look at the layers or the clothes that Paul asked you to wear. He asked you to put on compassion and kindness and humility, meekness and patience. Those are all-purpose garments. They must all be the color orange because it goes with anything. No, I mean, whatever you have in your life to do, these are items that fit into making right choices. If you're showing compassion, if you have kindness for others, if you're actually going into it with a humble heart, not always wanting your own way, and realizing that things do not happen overnight necessarily. That patience is a part of the process. We're teaching a computer class, Introduction to Computers, up on the campus. Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, and Access. And we have these networked computers, and I get 20 people in there, and we walk through whatever exercise it is all together. And sometimes it really slows down the whole system. When all of us are working on the same program in the exact same way, and you know, most of these students are ready for instant access. Whatever computer they have works much faster than our network computers from time to time. And I always am reminded it's a lesson of patience. Things will happen. And you know, I'll say, now this is what's going to happen next. Very soon, this is going to happen next. It's going to show up on the screen, right? And I think in our lives, there are so many times when we want things to happen on our timetable, and God's timetable does not necessarily run on our clock. I'm glad you all made the transition of time today. I was talking in the car the other day. I said, we're going to gain an hour. And my children very quickly said, we're not gaining an hour, Dad. We're losing an hour. I said, yes, okay. We're not gaining an hour in the clock, but we are gaining an hour of daylight in the evening, right? Tonight, we'll have an extra hour of daylight. Now, that means we lost an hour of sleep last night to get there, but certainly there is a difference in how we even look at this time coming up. That spring is a time of thinking about new beginnings and growth and life. And that we do have the privilege of bearing with one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Those are great words for us to think in terms of how we make crucial choices today. What we say matters. What we do matters. And then to allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. I know you have been a part of making crucial choices already. Some of you, those crucial choices involved meeting and continuing your life with your spouses. Those crucial choices involved where you went to school or what job you chose along the way, what house you may have built or lived in or rented from. There are crucial choices throughout our lives. Some of you are looking at where you're planning to go to college. That is a crucial choice in the grand scheme of things. And if all of those choices can first be filtered through our own actions of always showing compassion, of allowing kindness and humility and meekness and patience to rise above some of those other feelings and emotions that also seem to rise in and among our lives that are not pleasing to God. He goes on to tell them, he says, let the word of Christ, in verse 16, dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And every choice that we make in our lives, if we can understand that every choice does not have to be something we make alone, that we do that with the wisdom and guidance of others around us, that we do that as we look to God's Word for direction, And we make those choices as we allow God's Spirit to discern and to direct as we go forward in life. The writer of Romans reminds us that as we make crucial choices along the way, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our spiritual worship. To not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. I'm not sure how many of you fall in this category. From time to time, I find myself channel surfing. You ever do any channel surfing? We have 55 channels on the analog version that Philippi Cable still offers, and sometimes there's not a single thing to watch. With 55 channels, let alone, you know, you all, that may apply to whatever networks you all have as well. And so every once in a while, I'll run by that Christian channel. Is it TBN or something like that? I don't even know what it's called. Is that pretty low on the dial? I don't know where it's at. What's it called? Number Channel 7. There we go. Now, sometimes you'll have all kinds of speakers on that channel. Now, if you want some good entertainment from time to time, you just turn over there. They really get animated as they talk about their connection with the Lord. But this one lady was on there, and she was given an interview. And she says, you know, she said, I used to be one of those people that didn't think there was anything to this Jesus thing. I lived out in Hollywood, out in Los Angeles, out in that area of the world, and Christianity was the farthest thing from my mind. She ran a trash tabloid, and their whole purpose in life was to catch celebrities in the act of doing something scandalous, and she would report it on her blog. And so that was her whole existence, and it was all of the up-and-up kind of socialite experience of this world. And she said, until one day, my whole world changed, and I ended up in the Bible Belt, Tennessee of the South, and I married a fellow from there, and we started a life so foreign from Los Angeles, I didn't even know if I could make the transition. And she was going to be a mother for the first time. They thought the right thing to do was to marry, and so she did, and left everything that she had. And of all things, there was a retired NFL linebacker turned preacher neighbor that lived right next door to her. So this big old hulking 300 and some pound African American and his family of six started to love on this young lady from Los Angeles, inviting her over to their family meals when they had birthday celebrations. They'd come in and just have her share in their life. She didn't want anything to do with church. She knew that he was a preacher and did all that, but she was very appreciative this family invited her into their lives. And of course, the preacher's wife made some pretty good fried chicken along the way as well. And so that really spoke well during her time of pregnancy to have some comfort food along the way. And she just continued to have this experience that there may be some people out there that actually care. So early on in the process, the preacher gave her a prayer that he kept folded up in his pocket. He told her his own personal story. He had lived many years in the high life of life, had all of the bells and whistles that you could possibly have as a national professional football player. And then God just got a hold of him one day and transformed everything so that all that he had made, all that he had amassed in this world, he then turned over to God and continued to use that in that way. But he found a prayer early on and he gave it to her, and it became one of those foundational things that allowed her to make crucial choices of where to go in this world and what to do. She just published, it's actually a fiction book, but it's based on her life and the preacher and his wife and their family who lived next door. The book is entitled One Sunday. And although she takes you back through her life that was filled with disappointment and distress, it all happened as she actually showed up for his church service on a particular Sunday morning. But here's the prayer. I want it to be an opportunity for us to also rebirth our hope that we have. To have this understanding that there is something that we not only can be connected to, but that we do have purpose. And the choices that we make do matter. And that as we continue to lift up our prayers to the Lord, those are prayers of hope and health and sustenance. May we hear this prayer as our prayer today. I will pray for hope. I will pray as a broken person to the Creator of the trees and streams and of all great things as they give me hope. As I go out today into the world, I walk with my head down and a heavy heart. Put your hand on me. Guide me as I wander the paths of my life that can lead to happiness and success. This day of all days, I call on you for hope. I don't need money or jewels or even a day's wages. Instead, lead me that I can find your hope that soars beyond my cages. If the tiger can hunt and the eagle can soar, so can I find the purpose of my life. Send me on my way, the way only you know. Mark my words with honest favor. Let me stumble and fall as I may remain humble. Do not hide my way from failure or pitfalls, but stay with me to show me how to get up with you. Give me a job that is only for me. Plant the seeds of success and watch them grow. Bring my challenges and fears and peace in my spirit. Let me be courageous and able to laugh at my weaknesses and misgivings. Help me to reach for my dreams and live my days as a gift of no more. Let me ride the waves heading toward the shore. Give me the time to finish my goals and help me love the people who need loving the most. Break my spirit of addiction or of lust or of greed and let me feel the grace that is my only need. Expose me to danger, to bigotry, to those who take so I can witness a stranger's walk in love, then versus hate. Bring the love of a family and the touch of a friend. Let me be surrounded by their kindness until the very end. Love me, O God, and guide my every step. Help me, show me the way that is best. Today I pray for hope and not for an easy day. I pray that you are with me until my last breathing day and when my days are past. And there is nothing left to say. I hope that your face will be with me and I will no longer be afraid. Almighty God, it is to you and you alone that we give this prayer to. And that in the crucial choices of our life, as we wrap ourselves in kindness and meekness and patience, as we bear with one another in brotherly love, as we let your peace come and fill us, and we clothe ourselves with your love above all things, may we always have this message of hope. Hope that speaks through all the crucial choices that we make in this life. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.